2021 Royal Rumble is in the books. First ever fan-free Royal Rumble, and I gotta tell you, it's just not the same, man. It's just not the same. I know circumstances are what they are. It's out of their hands. I get it. But while I am happy they were able to pipe in the countdowns and all that to try to make it feel like a traditional Rumble, it's just not the same. You can't replicate the fan experience without fans. And the Royal Rumble is one of those pay-per-views that has all that fan interaction. So this show is missing something. And I didn't know what I was going to feel like. I didn't know what I was going to say when I came on here, because there were a lot of questions going into the show about what they were going to do with Bill Goldberg, who was going to win the Royal Rumble. I heard a lot of rumors about a lot of bad shit that could have gone down tonight. But now that the pay-per-view is in the books and I look back on what WWE did, this was not the strongest Royal Rumble in the last several years that they've done. But I am not unhappy with how the show turned out. Now let's take stock of what happened tonight. Bill Goldberg did not win the WWE Championship. That's a good thing. Bianca Belair won the Women's Royal Rumble match. That's a good thing. Edge won the Men's Royal Rumble match. That's not a bad thing. And I know a lot of people are unhappy because Edge is older and they wanted somebody new, somebody who's never won the Rumble before to go ahead and take it. I get that. With that promo he aired from the ring, from his home on Monday night, he won me over with that promo. He won me over with the story they were trying to tell with Edge. I was Daniel Bryan all the way until about 6 days ago. When I did my predictions the other night, I told you guys, I said, I'm changing my pick. I had a change of heart, and I'm going with Edge. Because I like the story they're telling with him, and I like the idea of him going to WrestleMania, not to meet Drew McIntyre, but to meet Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Title he's never won before against somebody he's never been in the ring with before. Now, I don't know who Edge is going to pick. I don't know when he's going to make his decision, how long they're going to drag it out for. Very possible he doesn't pick Roman Reigns. Very possible that he chooses Drew McIntyre to challenge for the WWE Championship. And that could be a good match too. But that's not the match I want to see. But they scared me a little bit there at the end when Randy Orton came back out. We're going to go through everything that happened on this show tonight and the stuff in between. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for choosing me for your coverage of Royal Rumble 2021. Here on January 31st. Also had a last man standing match we got to talk about between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. So let's get through this because there's a lot to get to. The women's tag team title match was booted off the main card. It was moved onto the kickoff show. Charlotte and Asuka defending the women's tag team championships against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And the only question really coming into this match was not a matter of if, but when Lacey Evans and Ric Flair were going to show up. Was it going to be during the tag team title match? Was it going to be during the Royal Rumble match? That was really the only question. Are they going to cost Charlotte the title, or are they going to eliminate Charlotte from the Royal Rumble? We got our answer here. Charlotte hit a moonsault onto Baszler and Jax on the floor. She rolled Shayna back into the ring when all of a sudden her father's music played, and out walks the Nature Boy, strutting out. And along with him is Lacey Evans. So the distraction gave Shayna Baszler a near fall. She went for a roll-up on Charlotte. Charlotte kicked out and applied the figure eight. Lacey Evans pulled Baszler to the ropes. Shayna Baszler went for the Kirifuda clutch. Ric Flair on the outside passes Lacey Evans a foreign object. Couldn't really see what it was. Could have been a pair of brass knucks. Could have been a loaded glove. But he passed something to her. Ric Flair slipped something. He slipped his foreign object to Lacey Evans. Even at the age of 71, this guy's still slipping things to other people. Charlotte put the figure eight on again, and Lacey tagged her in the face. Just reached in, woman's right, boom, right to the face. And nailed her with the object. Nia Jax drops a leg across the back of Charlotte's head and pins her to win the tag team title. So Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, for the second time now, are the women's tag team champions. a basic match, not really much to it. And it puts the belts back on the heels, which makes me a little bit uneasy now because we have this women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. The winners, I assume, are going to at some point get a women's tag team title match. And I have Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez as my picks to win the whole thing. They're heels. I mean, I guess you could do heel versus heel. It's not, it's not completely out of left field. They could do that, I suppose. I do wonder if it makes it a little bit more likely, though, that Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon go on to win the whole thing. But I'm going to stick to Dakota and Raquel. We'll see how that shakes out. Then we have the pay-per-view. Man, I got all your super... I'm trying to watch your super chats. I'm trying to focus on what's going on here. Pay-per-view opened with the WWE Championship, which had me very worried. When I found out that this match was opening the show tonight, my first reaction was, oh no. Because all I'm thinking now is, even if Goldberg loses, which he absolutely should have done, even if Goldberg loses the match, it gives him plenty of time to catch his breath and come back at the very end and enter himself into the Royal Rumble match and win the Rumble to earn a shot at Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So I had a very bad feeling in the pit of my stomach when I found out this was opening the show. Goldberg was out first wearing black fight shorts, so he changed it up a little bit. He was not bleeding, shockingly. He did not bash his brains in against the locker room door before he came out. There was no blood on Goldberg's head. Headbutt and a spear by Drew to start the match. They went right out of the gate, right from the moment that both guys got in the ring. The bell hadn't even rung yet. But from the moment they got in the ring, the action started. Like I said, headbutt and a spear by Drew. On the outside then, Goldberg spears McIntyre through the barricade. And now McIntyre is favoring his ribs. He's selling a rib injury. Oh my goodness, it is the Mantar Super Chat. There it is. There's the Mantar mating call. What's that? That's the $75 one. Is that Rodimus? Wow. Thank you, Rodimus. Thank you, Rod. It always knocks me for a loop whenever I hear the... it's the only one with audio. The Mantar. Gotta love Mantar. There was no Mantar cameo, unfortunately, in the Royal Rumble tonight. That maybe was one of the more disappointing elements. We had the Hurricane. For fuck's sake, if you're going to put the Hurricane in there for a friggin' waste of a spot, is it really going to cost you that much to pick up the phone and call Mantar and get him to come in and do a fucking cameo? Anyway. Drew McIntyre tells the referee, I'm okay. I'm all right. Ring the damn bell. He's a fighting champion. He's not going to give up. So he gets in the ring and immediately hits a Claymore kick, and Goldberg kicks out. Now, I'm thinking, this is playing out pretty much the way I told you guys that I would do it. If I were booking this match, and I've said this a few times over the last few weeks, I said it's very simple. The match does not go more than 3, 4, 5 minutes. Let Goldberg kick out of a Claymore. Give him that. Let him kick out of a Claymore kick. Let him go for a jackhammer after giving Drew a few spears. Drew slips out of the jackhammer. Goldberg hits the ropes, and as he's coming off the ropes, he eats a Claymore kick, and Drew McIntyre pins him. And when the match is over, Goldberg goes over and shakes his hand like a man. Pays him the respect that he's owed as the champion. This match went pretty much the way that I said it would. Although he did hit the jackhammer. And it looked good. He didn't drop him on his head or anything. It didn't look lazy. Or like he got gassed and dropped him. So he did go ahead and he hit the jackhammer. And fucking A, man, this was real close. After he hit that jackhammer, I mean, this was as near as a near fall gets. But Drew kicked out. Spear misses. Goldberg hits the turnbuckle. Another Claymore kick. Connects. McIntyre then 1, 2, 3. Pins Bill Goldberg to retain the WWE Championship. The time of the match, 2.5 minutes, so it went even less time than I thought it would. Goldberg walks over to Drew, and he nods in approval, and he tells him, "You passed the test." He pays his respects to the WWE champion. The two of them embrace exactly the way that this match should have gone. Exactly the way that it should have gone. Short to the point. Drew wins without any kind of shenanigans. The Miz doesn't come out to try to cash in and distract, and no nonsense. Drew McIntyre gets a big win over a legend. So I don't have any issue with what they did here. I was actually pleasantly surprised that they did the right thing. And again, it went pretty much the way that I pitched that I thought it should. So I really don't have any complaints about the way that this could have gone very badly. All right? And you guys know that. Like I said, from the moment I found out that they were going to open the show with this, my mind was going in all kinds of directions here about all of the negative things that could come out of this, the bad things that could have come out of that. But they kept it very simple. So I liked it. I applaud them. I commend them for doing the right thing. I don't get to do that very often. So I will take this opportunity to commend them for actually doing the right thing. Whatever star power Goldberg has left, this is how it should be used. It's best used in a match like this, putting over the current talent on the ascent. Drew is the guy you were trying to build. I was going to say new guy. I mean, Drew's not exactly new. But Drew is the one who is the younger guy who is on the ascent. He is the guy that you want to push. And this is where someone like Goldberg could be useful. You're never going to have another generation of Goldbergs if you don't push the current generation and use those Goldbergs to help out the present roster and help get them over and give them credibility. Now, all we needed was for Goldberg to stay the hell away from the Men's Royal Rumble match. I kind of figured he would, because when this was over, he was hunched over. He was gassed out. Hey, it was a rough 2.5 minutes, okay? I mean, cut the guy some slack. 2.5 minutes is a long time to some people. You know, when you expel all of your energy in the first few minutes of the match, it can be tough. Sasha Banks against Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Carmella tossed Sasha through the ropes a few minutes into the match. And she landed right in the arms of Reginald, the sommelier. He was out there again, and he caught Sasha. And since no good deed goes unpunished, how is he rewarded for catching this woman and saving her? She gives him a Rana, takes him over. And even though he was the one who got assaulted, the referee looked at him and said, "You're out of here." So the referee ejected him, even though he really didn't do anything wrong. He ejected him from ringside. Carmella, and this is one of the scariest moments of the night. I would say that this was probably the second scariest moment this week. The first scariest moment was watching the Shingo Takagi Hiroshi Tanahashi match. All the non-New Japan fans now are like, "Who the hell are you talking about?" Shingo and Tanahashi. Shingo has a move called Made in Japan. The guy is supposed to tuck his head on the way down. And Tanahashi, I mean, he got dropped right on top of his head. I gasped when I saw it. This wasn't quite as bad, but this looked pretty nasty. Carmella lawn darts herself through the ropes. It's one of those fucking dives. I keep talking about all these dives. And it looked like she broke her fall with her face. And you could see Sasha was kind of, you know, trying to make sure she was okay and trying to get some kind of hand signal from her. Are you alive? Are you conscious? And a few seconds later, Carmella popped right back up. So she seemed to be okay. I think, honestly, she probably would have been more embarrassed than anything else. Maybe she was no-selling it. I'm sure it didn't feel too good. That was scary. Sasha Banks hit the frog splash, but Carmella got the knees up, applied her code of silence submission. Sasha escapes. Sasha off the top rope takes a super kick to the gut and then eats one. Eats a super kick right to the face. Carmella only gets a near fall out of it. And as she went to go drag Sasha to the center of the ring, Sasha grabs her arm, takes her down, and applies the bank statement and gets the submission. And Sasha Banks retains the SmackDown Women's Championship. I thought this was a good match. I thought their match at TLC was better. This was not as good as that was, but still good. And the right outcome. Sasha Banks needs to go into WrestleMania as the champion. There is no other outcome to this match, or really any other Sasha Banks match between now and WrestleMania, that should result in anything other than Sasha retaining and going to WrestleMania to defend the championship. It would be brain dead foolish to take that title off of her right now. She is the money player in that women's division, at least through WrestleMania. So it was the right outcome. Yeah, I mentioned before when we started the stream, I wanted to get a sense from you guys in the chat of what you thought of the pay-per-view tonight. So go ahead in the chat, put number one if you like the show, thumbs up, and put number two if you thought thumbs down. I'm not going to be able to see all your comments, but maybe I'll catch a few, read them off here in a little bit. Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny was out next to perform his supposedly hit sing. I mean, I guess it must be a hit. I had never heard the song before. Booker T, that's the name of the song, Booker T. And I went on YouTube, and I see that it has 45 million views on YouTube. 45 million. And I'm just thinking to myself, holy shit. Damn it, Dan. Dropping $150. Did I see that correctly? I think that's what it said. $150 here on the stream. Damn it, Dan. I thought I told you about this. I saw that out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, whoa. Holy fucking shit. Damn it, Dan. You are the man. Wow. What was I saying? Oh, 45 million. 45 million views for that Bad Bunny video. I mean, I heard the song tonight. I don't know that it's worth 45 million views. Booker T was there. He was not in the Royal Rumble, but Booker T was there. And he stood there. He had an angry look on his face. He had his arms crossed. He was dressed like G.I. Bro. Haven't seen him as G.I. Bro since the dying days of the Russo days of WCW. Although, to be fair to Russo, I believe that was actually Booker T's idea to revive the G.I. Bro gimmick there at the end. I don't think that was necessarily Russo or anybody else. I think that was something Booker T chose to do. I couldn't tell you why. It's insanely dumb. Booker T at that point had been elevated to being a main event player. All of a sudden, he was back to doing a gimmick that he had done, you know, 10 years earlier. But here we had G.I. Bro. And at the very end, he gave us the, can you dig that sucker? So he did his catchphrase at the end. I was also wondering, I said, you know, what the fuck is a Bad Bunny? Like, who comes up with these names? Like Solomon Monster, right? It sounds stupid, but it's a play off my name. All right, simple explanation. So I'm thinking, what is a Bad Bunny? So I had to look this up. Apparently, he was forced to wear a bunny costume when he was very young. At school one day, I don't know why he was forced to do this. This sounds like child abuse, but he was forced to wear a bunny costume, and he was photographed with a very angry expression on his face, and thus Bad Bunny was born. Apparently, that's the answer. That's why he is Bad Bunny. Whatever. Women's Royal Rumble time, 30 women, one winner getting a championship match of her choosing. At WrestleMania, Bayley entered at number one. She had the name Cole shaved into the back of her head. Go on her, I think it was on her Twitter. She posted a photo of this. She actually had Michael Cole's last name basically carved into the back of her head. And she was very upset when she came down to the ring because Michael Cole had disappeared. He wasn't doing commentary for the Women's Rumble. It was Tom Phillips. And Byron Saxton, and she was very upset, and Jerry Lawler, and she was very upset about this. Naomi was number two, making her return for the first time in many months. We have not seen Naomi in a while. I don't know if it, I think it might have been an injury, but whatever it was, we had not seen Naomi in a while. Bianca Belair entered in the Ric Flair. From now on, I would like for them to just call it the Ric Flair Memorial. I know he's not dead, but the Ric Flair Memorial spot is number three. It will always be number three in the Royal Rumble match. And Bianca Belair was number three. Billie Kay was number four. And she headed for the announce desk instead of the ring, which is probably a better place for her to be. Every time somebody new would come out, she would walk back to the aisle to greet them. She had her 8x10, I guess, headshot that she was trying to give out to people. I love how there's apparently no rules. So when you enter the Royal Rumble, you don't have to just go into the ring. You can go and announce. You can stand outside and observe. I don't know why anybody would even get in the fucking ring if you enter the Rumble that early. I would just grab a chair, sit outside, grab some popcorn, and watch the match. I would do exactly what Randy Orton did in the main event. I would fake an injury. I would go to the back. I would take a load off. I would relax. And when I was good and ready, I would come back down to the ring. So what I get out of tonight's Rumble is that you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want. There are no rules. It used to be where you had a certain amount of time until the next person came out to get in the ring or you were eliminated. See, that makes sense. Apparently, they have now done away with that rule. It no longer exists. Number five was Shotzi Blackheart from NXT entering in her tank. Number six was one half of the tag team champion Shayna Baszler. Toni Storm was out at number seven, a favorite of mine. Love Toni Storm. Shayna dumped Shotzi. Number eight was Jillian Hall. Yes, they wasted a spot on Jillian Hall. And Billie Kay was so excited to see her, and she proposed that they form an alliance, and they call themselves Billy and Jilly. That was their name, and she said, sure, that sounds great. And so they got into the ring, and they're working together for a while. Number nine was Ruby Riott. Number 10, and to me, this was one of the highlights of the Rumble match. Number 10 was Victoria. That was a surprise. I was not expecting that. We have not seen Victoria in any of the recent women's Rumbles. In fact, we have not seen Victoria, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe she's done anything. Certainly not on TV with WWE, and has not wrestled the match for them in over a decade. I think it was 2009 was her last match in WWE, and then she went to TNA. She went to Impact. So here she is, less than 2 weeks shy of her 50th birthday, out there looking good, looking, you know, pretty much like the Victoria of old. And when people would ask her over the years, you know, what's the deal with you in WWE? Have you been invited back? You know, they always have these Legends Nights and the Women's Rumbles, and how come you're never there? And I think her answer always was that she wasn't invited. And she thought that she was being blackballed. And couldn't understand why. I'm happy that that is over. We got to see Victoria in the Rumble match tonight. Number 11 was Peyton Royce, and we got a brief Iconics reunion with her and Billie Kay working together. Victoria also hit Peyton with a widow's peak after Peyton did her version of the same move. Victoria, of course, was the innovator of that move. Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody came up with it before she did. But in this company, on this brand, in WWE, the innovator was Victoria. Number 12 was Santana Garrett. They said Santana Garrett from NXT. And I thought to myself, how long has it been since we've seen Santana Garrett on NXT television? She hasn't even been on NXT in months and months and months. They dust her off every now and then. Santana Garrett's actually pretty good. I don't know why she doesn't really get a proper opportunity. It's like they have her, she's like roaming the performance center, and every now and then they remember, oh, you know what? We have Santana. Let's dust her off and bring her out to put somebody else over. So she got to be in the Rumble. Number 13 was Liv Morgan. Billie Kay eliminates Jillian Hall, and Billie then gets dumped out by the Riot Squad. Number 14 was my pick, Rhea Ripley. Former NXT Women's Champion, out comes Rhea Ripley, who almost immediately got rid of Toni Storm. There's some history there between the two of them. Baszler eliminates Victoria. Rhea eliminates Santana Garrett. We're halfway in. Number 15 is the Queen, Charlotte Flair, who immediately goes after Rhea. Bayley eliminates Ruby Riott. Number 16 was Dana Brooke. Peyton Royce eliminates Liv Morgan. Number 17 was Tori Wilson. Be still my heart. Tori Wilson. In my opinion, and that's all it is. And look, there have been a lot of very attractive women in WWE over the years. Tori Wilson, to me, she's right at the top. She's right at the top. And after all this time, after all these years, doesn't look much different. She still comes out there looking like Tori Wilson. Tori once had a stepmother versus stepdaughter match here at this Royal Rumble event. The less said about that, the better. That was against Dawn Marie. Rhea Ripley absolutely destroyed Dana Brooke. Wiped out Dana Brooke with a powerbomb on the apron. And Dana sort of rolled down to the floor, so she was gone. Number 18 was Ric Flair. That's what the Titantron said. His music played. It said Ric Flair on the Titantron, and out he came. And I said, you know what? The guy is what, 71, 72? If Ric Flair wants to be in one more Royal Rumble, then, you know, damn it, let him be in the Rumble. Let Ric Flair try to win his second Royal Rumble, and better yet, let him eliminate his daughter to do it. But it wasn't Ric Flair. Ric Flair came out to introduce us to Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans was wearing the same robe that Charlotte had been wearing. Charlotte attacked her. We had purple feathers all over the ring. It looked like somebody took a shotgun to Barney the Dinosaur. Just purple, purple feathers everywhere, all over the ring. Charlotte eliminates Peyton Royce. Shayna Baszler eliminates Tori Wilson. Number 19 was Mickie James. And as Mickie was making her entrance, Bianca Belair eliminated Bayley, which was kind of important because they had been there since the very beginning. Bayley was number one in the Rumble. She had been in the match for 30 minutes. And we totally missed it because they didn't get a shot of it. They had to show us a replay after the fact. So they totally whiffed on showing us Bayley's elimination. Number 20 was Nikki Cross. I had number 21 in our Royal Rumble pool on Facebook. I know some of you were in the Facebook group. You probably were in on that too. Number 21 turned out to be Alicia Fox, and I just thought, fuck me. so much for that. Although, my picks for the Rumble were already out there, so I knew it was going to be someone who had no chance. But of all people, it was Alicia Fox, or should I say, WWE legend, Alicia Fox. Of Melina versus Alicia Fox fame. She was immediately followed by R-Truth, who came to the ring thinking that I guess it was the men's rumble and they had to tell him it's the women's rumble. And then who is coming down but the brigade of 24/7 geeks who chase him. Their only mission, their only job apparently, is to chase him around for this little shitty belt. You had Akira Tozawa. To me, you know, it's funny. I saw Tozawa. I couldn't even tell you who else was out there. Because to me, they like blend together. I don't see faces anymore with these people. I just see bodies coming out. It doesn't even matter. It's just sad. All this 24/7 nonsense, and it only got worse as the night went on. All this 24/7 nonsense. Just to say that it jumped the shark, it's not even true. It jumped the shark 2 years ago. Now it's just sad. So R-Truth is out there. Alicia Fox pins him, becomes the new 24/7 champion right in the middle of the Royal Rumble. Number 22 is Mandy Rose, who eliminated Alicia Fox, who then gets rolled up by R-Truth, who wins back his 24/7 crap belt. And then all the other geeks who came down to chase after him, they chase after him again as he runs to the back. Yawn, gag, snore. Who gives a shit? Number 23. Dakota Kai from NXT. I do like that all of the NXT ladies were very well represented in this Royal Rumble. And you could say a lot about NXT and how NXT isn't what it used to be. Some people stop watching NXT. I still watch it every week. I think overall it's a good show. It's not a great show. It's missing, and the fan element is a big part of it, but it's just missing something it used to have. The one thing, though, I will say about NXT, strongest women's division anywhere in wrestling, at least in this country, anywhere in wrestling right now is in NXT. They have the strongest women's division. And as these women begin to be called up, like Rhea Ripley will be, I'm sure, and some of the other women, like a Raquel Gonzalez, she's somebody else to watch out for. Those are the women that are going to carry these divisions 5 years from now. When you have people like Bayley and Charlotte, who maybe at that point have moved on or they want to settle down and have a family, these are the women that are going to carry those women's divisions on Raw and SmackDown. And you got a big glimpse of that tonight with Rhea Ripley in this match. Number 24 was Carmella. Rhea dumped Dakota down face first. Rhea wasn't fucking around tonight. She dumped Dakota face first down on the apron. That looked rough. Dakota fell to the floor. She was gone. She was gone the minute her head smacked the apron. She was gone. Nikki Cross dumped Carmella out, but Reginald caught her. So Reginald catches Carmella, puts her back into the ring. Number 25 was Tamina, who comes out, and she's getting ready to super kick Reginald, who has his back turned. He doesn't see it coming. I guess somewhere in here, Carmella again got knocked off the apron. I was kind of wondering, maybe they did the spot a little early, and because they just went right back to it and did it again, but this time when he turned around, and this was very goofy. He basically just put Carmella, I think before Tamina even super kicked him, he basically just put Carmella down first, and then he got kicked. And then Carmella was very upset because she realized, oh, I'm eliminated. This was stupid. This was dumb. Naomi fell out to the floor, but held her feet up in the air. Right? This is her thing. What Kofi Kingston used to do in the Men's Rumble matches is what Naomi does in the women's, where she finds all of these clever little ways for her feet not to touch the floor. So she's out on the floor, but her feet are up in the air. And the referee's saying, nope, she's still in. Her feet haven't touched the floor, so it doesn't count. She's trying to figure out how to get back into the ring. She looks up, and she notices the long braid, the braided hair of Bianca Belair. Bianca was down on the mat. She grabs a hold of Bianca's hair and uses that as leverage to pull herself back up into the ring. So that was this year's creative spot with Naomi in the Rumble. Number 26 was Lana, and I was briefly a little worried here because Lana has not been on television, I think, since Survivor Series, and I'm thinking, nah, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't be that stupid to think that, oh, we're going to do the underdog story because people are going to just fall in love with Lana if she comes out of nowhere and wins the Royal Rumble. My mind started to get away because I don't trust these people. I don't trust these people to do the right thing. Especially in this environment with no fans. You know, this is the other problem with having these fanless shows. WWE controls the crowd reaction. They can manipulate it any way they want to. They could have had Lana win the Royal Rumble tonight and piped in chants of, this is awesome and you deserve it. And who's going to stop them? Because they have no people in the audience to tell them that their ideas half the time are fucking dumb. So they can pretty much book whatever they want. They have no fans now to react to. Is this idea working? Is this idea not working? So we had how many months of Lana getting that big push on TV? I put nothing past these people. Thankfully, my fears were not founded. She almost eliminated Rhea Ripley. This review would have been a lot more heated had that happened. You would have seen flames shooting out of my ears if they would have had Lana eliminate Rhea Ripley from this match. Number 27 was Alexa Bliss. They all ganged up on her, and it looked like she was about to transform into Alexa Dark, I guess you would call it. Remember Pentagon Dark from Lucha Underground? She becomes Alexa Dark. The Fiend's, the light fuckery from The Fiend. Everything started to happen. Rhea Ripley said, fuck your black magic, and dumped her out of the ring, and that was it. We never saw Alexa Bliss. We never saw The Fiend on this show. Not even any, like, Fiend tricks in the Rumble match that would distract Randy Orton or anything. It's like, Maybe he really did burn this guy to death. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe when Bray Wyatt returns, the Fiend is dead and the old Bray Wyatt is going to come back. Who knows? At this point, they may as well, because the Fiend that we knew from a year ago, it ain't the same. So you know what? You may as well. It almost doesn't even matter at this point. But I was surprised that there was really nothing more that came out of this. They dumped her out, and that was the end of it. Number 28 was Ember Moon, who hit the eclipse. Not a very good one, but she hit the eclipse to Shayna Baszler. Number 29 was Nia Jax. Everyone in the chat, I know your favorite wrestler. Nia Jax was out at number 29. She and Shayna Baszler started working together. Baszler gets rid of Lacey Evans. Jax gets rid of Ember Moon. They both get rid of Naomi after 47 minutes. Naomi spent 47 minutes in this match after coming out at number 2. They got rid of Tamina, and then Nia dumped Shayna out to the floor, right? Every woman for herself. It's like Sid told Hogan in the Rumble many years ago when he dumped him out. Every man for himself, big boy. Don't be a bitch. Take the L and move on like a man. And Hogan just couldn't do it. Nia charged at Lana. Lana pulled down the top rope. Out goes Nia Jax. Number 30 was Natalya. She was the 30th entrant in the Rumble match. Immediately gets ganged up under the aisleway by Jax and Baszler, who get back into the ring and they start beating everybody up. And then, pleased with their handiwork, they decide to take their leave. So we ended up with three. The final three were Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. I loved it because it could have easily been any of those three. And that's one of the things I love about Royal Rumble endings. When you have more than one person who could conceivably, believably win. We saw it in 2007 with The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. We saw it a few years ago in 2018 when it came down to Roman Reigns, John Cena, Finn Balor, and Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, even last year, I think, right? It came down to Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. Always good to have at least one other person in there who you can believably see winning, so it's not that predictable. Here you had three. You could have easily made the argument for any of these three women to win this match, and it would have been believable. And Bianca was my original pick. But when I did my predictions at the beginning of the year, I said, you know what, I see this maybe going a different way. That's when I switched over to Rhea. I thought this would be a great way to debut her on the main roster, come full circle from a year ago, and if Charlotte wins the Raw Women's title between now and WrestleMania, Rhea can choose to face Charlotte in a rematch from last year, avenge her loss, and beat Charlotte and become the Raw Women's champion. That was my thinking in terms of Rhea Ripley getting the win. Rhea and Bianca team up to knock Charlotte off the apron to the floor, so they got rid of her. Now it's down to Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, two people who have never won a Royal Rumble match before. Two of the women that I do believe that the women's division in this company are going to be built around over the next 5 years. These two right here. Beyond, you know, Sasha Banks, and if Becky Lynch comes back, you know, they're already established. It's these two. It's these two women, Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. And they went at it for a while. They both spill out over the top rope. They're hanging on for dear life. They're both trying not to fall to the floor. They slide back inside. They trade some elimination attempts. Rhea goes for the riptide. That gets countered. Bianca goes for the KOD. That gets countered. And Bianca clotheslines Rhea Ripley out of the ring. Bianca Belair is your 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match winner. And she was full of emotion. Tears in her eyes. She was all emotional. Over 56 minutes for Bianca. That is a new record. Kayla Braxton climbs into the ring to interview her after the match, and she's in tears. She is just racked with emotion, talking about going to WrestleMania. She, you know, shouted out her mom and dad. I thought overall it was a pretty fun Rumble. I liked it. Overall, I liked it. It was nice to see Victoria no longer blackballed, if that was ever the case, by the company. That was maybe the biggest surprise, honestly, was seeing her. I did not expect to see her come out. The final few minutes I thought were great. The Rumble itself, Overall, pretty fun. Yeah, it's all right. But the final few minutes with the final three and then the final two, I thought that was great. I thought the people they chose for it, it was pitch perfect. And look, I predicted a Rhea win, but Bianca was absolutely the right choice to send to WrestleMania to go against Sasha Banks, if that is the match. I assume that's going to be the match. And that should be. That absolutely should be the match of WrestleMania. And I love the real emotion from her. We don't get that very often. A lot of these promos and stuff, they're all so forced and they're so scripted and they just sound so phony and just not genuine. And here you have a woman who could barely get the words out because she was overcome with emotion because it obviously meant something to her. Winning the Royal Rumble should mean something. It should be a big deal. And it was a big deal to Bianca Belair. That's how it came across on TV tonight, so I like that. Winning the Royal Rumble used to be a big deal. Winning the Royal Rumble should still be a big deal. So that I liked. So, and look, Rhea may not have won, but she hung in there until the very end, right? I almost had it. I was close. I was close. I came within a hair of being right. But I have no issue with Bianca Belair being the winner. GV in the chat says there was a standing ovation for Bianca when she got to the back. I can believe that. I can believe that for sure. I saw some picture with her and Montez Ford. I'm sure the moment she got backstage, they were probably hugging each other and crying. And it's a great moment. You know, I remember when she was in the Mae Young Classic, and I think she got bounced maybe in the opening round just a few years ago. And there was a video of her with Triple H, and she was in tears. And Triple H was telling her, like, you know, I forgot exactly what he said, but it was something like, you got nothing to be ashamed of. This is great. This is only the beginning for you. So you can see that she had something even then. She's a great athlete. And as she gets to develop her personality more as time goes on, sky's the limit for her. But her and Sasha, yeah, somebody made a comment to me. I said Sasha and Bianca is the money match as far as the women go at WrestleMania. And they were like, oh, there's no such thing anymore in WWE as a money match. It's an expression more than anything else. That to me, when it comes to the women, that's the match that I most want to see. And that's the match that I think even the build-up to, in terms of the promos, is going to, I think, garner the most interest. More than whatever Charlotte is going to be involved in. I think it's Sasha and Bianca. Peter Rosenberg. Now, I said this 24/7 shit was not over with. So they cut back to the pre-show panel to talk in the middle of the show here. And Peter Rosenberg was on the panel along with JBL, and they brought in Sonya Deville and Chuck, she was there. R-Truth was their guest, and Peter Rosenberg said, hey, Truth, John Cena, he's right over there. You know, R-Truth, I mean, John Cena's like his hero. And R-Truth fell for it. Peter Rosenberg rolled him up and pinned him to become the 24/7 champion. So as of right now, when he goes to bed tonight, Peter Rosenberg will be the 24/7 champion. Which means that this is going to continue into TV this week. And maybe he'll lose it tomorrow night. But this 24/7 nonsense continues. It will never end. It will never end. You know, it's at the point now where clearly it's a gimmick for the kids. But I'm wondering, like, we've got to have some parents in the chat right now who probably have kids who watch with them. I mean, are the kids really that into the 24/7 stuff still after all this time? I don't even know that I would necessarily be as, not angry at it, but just it's so fucking dumb. If they at least tried to change it up in some way and just do something different, I feel like it's just the epitome of laziness. Oh, well, you know, we got to have our segment on the show, so what are we going to do? Well, we'll have R-Truth come out in the middle of a match and we'll have everybody run behind him because apparently that's what they do. It's like the human centipede. They're all attached. Where R-Truth goes, they follow. And then they chase him right back out of the building. It's the same shit every week. They don't even try to change it up. At least with the gobbledygooker, I got a kick out of it when they put birdseed. I don't know why. I just thought that was fucking funny. That was at least a little bit different. Just try something different. Is that too much to ask? Corey Graves said David Arquette is now off the hook. We had Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship last man standing match. And I think I may have missed this before, but oh my goodness. Professor John Gotti dropping $200. This guy just dropped $200 on this friggin' stream. Says, emotional after the Women's Royal Rumble match, EST heading into WrestleMania. And he points out there's an EST in the middle of WrestleMania. That is true. Professor John Gotti is, he's one of our diehards. $200, wow. Well, he beat out the Damn It Dan. Damn It Dan has been topped. Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens. There have been some good last man standing matches over the years at the Royal Rumble. We had Triple H and Shawn Michaels in 2004, and that wasn't even my favorite match that they've ever had. But they had a last man standing match for the World Heavyweight Championship. 2007, we had John Cena and Umaga for the championship in a last man standing match. We even had Alberto Del Dipshit and Big Show in a last man standing match in 2013. And all of those matches were either good or very good. So we've had our fair share of good last man standing matches at this show over the years. How would this one hold up against those? Pretty damn well. As it turned out, pretty damn well. Not a surprise, given some of the matches these two have had in recent weeks. They work well together. Back in 2017, the roles were reversed. So in 2017, it was Kevin Owens as the heel champion, defending against Roman Reigns as the babyface challenger. So now here we are 4 years later. Things are a little bit different. Superman punch by Reigns and a pop-up powerbomb by Owens in the first minute of the match. This is the first 60 seconds of this match, and they're already spamming their finishers. So they go outside. They brawl up into the stands by the walls of the Thunderdome. Roman tossed Owens off the platform down through two tables, just like he did on TV a few weeks ago. Now, the only difference is when this happened on TV a few weeks ago, Kevin Owens was out for like a week or two. We didn't see him. It was like a big, kind of like a big injury angle. Here, he got up before the count of nine. So I don't know how you reconcile that, other than I guess in his mind, now he's wrestling for the championship. So it's all adrenaline, I guess. I don't know. That was a little strange. Owens staggers into the backstage area, and they are in a baseball stadium. So you get to see the rest of Tropicana Field, all the empty stands. They brawl to the back. And they have one of the workout rings, which they didn't go into. They just have this ring sitting there. And Roman Reigns runs over Kevin Owens with a golf cart. They took the AEW spot here on this show and tried to do their best AEW impression. I'd say this much, Kevin Owens took a hell of a bump. I thought Sammy Guevara took a hell of a bump too. But here, the front part of the golf cart had a plexiglass windshield. And Owens just timed it where he would jump up and he went right through the windshield. And the plexiglass broke through. It was a great visual. So Owens recovered from that. He delivered a pop-up powerbomb on a random announce desk that just so happened to be sitting there. This wasn't just a table. It was like an announce desk. I love how they just have random ones sitting around, I guess, for when they get broken during the show. They could just trot a new one on out. And he put Roman Reigns down onto a table, didn't break. So Owens climbs on top of a bunch of equipment boxes, and he hits a splash. Finally, the table breaks. Roman barely makes it back to his feet by the count of nine. So Roman staggers to his feet. Owens lays him now down across another table that's nearby. And Owens sees a forklift. And he's thinking, boy, I saw Halftime Heat when I was a kid. Let's try this. And he gets in the forklift and he raises like a pallet. And he raises the pallet, I'd say about 10 feet maybe, into the air. And he goes, that's good enough. And he gets out and he climbs on top of the forklift, right on top of the platform. And he's going to jump from the forklift, and Owens hits a senton down through Roman and the table. table breaks. And again, Roman Reigns manages to climb back to his feet before the count of 10. Owens is looking at Reigns. Reigns has some blood on his cheek. Owens says, "Whose blood is that? That's not my blood. That's tribal blood." And he's beating him back into the arena. They come back out on stage. And Reigns hits a Superman punch out of desperation. Then he spears Kevin Owens through the screen. So they go through one of the LED panels on the stage. Reigns says, "I can't quit. There's no way I can't quit. No way I can go home if I quit." And he's got a pair of handcuffs. And unfortunately, this pair of handcuffs would lead to a very unfortunate conclusion to this match. Things were going well. Things were going well. You had the plunder and all the stuff you would expect out of a typical last man standing match. You didn't have the crowd, but you pretty much had everything else. Now he's got a pair of handcuffs. He starts beating Owens in the head with them. Owens hits a stunner. And I know Kevin Owens is kind of friendly with Steve Austin. And he was a big Stone Cold fan. Stone Cold gave him advice once when he was a young lad first getting into the business. So they have a mutual respect for each other. And he actually went to Steve and asked him, "Is it okay if I start using the stunner as a move?" And Steve was like, "Hell yeah." Because I think Austin was like, "Okay, it would be cool to have somebody start using it as a finish and not like as just a random move." Well, here we are now after all these months, and there's only one person who could do the Stone Cold Stunner, and it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I would just as soon not have anybody. I appreciate that Owens does it, I think, as a tribute, but, you know, he throws the stunner out there like it's nothing. If you're going to use a stunner, it should finish the match. And now we've gotten to the point where he's just pretty much, you know, throwing it out there as just another move. I wonder how Austin feels about that. I would rather he just stop using the move, but that's me. So Reigns is cuffed because Owens got possession of the handcuffs. And he cuffs him to, there's like a metal column, like a steel beam. So he handcuffs him to the bottom part. And Roman is sitting on his butt. He's not standing. He's sitting down. He's cuffed. He can't move. And the referee starts to count. Now, I don't know why he did, because Roman wasn't out. He was conscious, but he just physically could not stand up. And the referee is counting and counting, and he's almost at 10. And Roman grabs the ref, and he kind of jerks him forward, and the referee smashes his face into another part of the metal beam, and so he's out. Paul Heyman rushes over with a key, and the idea was he's going to very quickly uncuff Roman Reigns, and they're going to go right to the finish. The only problem is Heyman could not uncuff Roman Reigns. No matter what he did, Heyman got down on the ground. He's trying to position his body to get his arm through the metal beam and put the key in the slot, and he can't do it. He can't uncuff this guy. There's another referee who comes over who already started counting. And the referee gets up to a 5 count, and he just stops. He just stops counting because he realizes that these guys are stuck. So their way of improvising was, "I'm just going to stop the count." Now, what must have been going through Heyman's mind at this point, right? I don't envy him being in that position. So they're trying, and they're trying, and feverishly trying to get these cuffs off. They cut to Kevin Owens, and Owens is just, he's standing there. He's got to just pretend like he's selling, but he's really just standing there watching them. And it's getting very uncomfortable watching this, because now it's very obvious that, you know, this we're in the middle of a Botchamania moment here. So 7 years later, they finally get the cuffs off Roman. He is now free, and they go right to the finish. He locks a guillotine on Owens. It's like Owens just kind of gave himself up for the guillotine, and he chokes him out, and he can't respond to the count of 10. And Roman Reigns retains the Universal Championship. A very unfortunate ending to what otherwise I thought was a very good match. It's definitely up there, I think, with the other Last Man Standing match. I think my favorite Last Man Standing match at the Royal Rumble, in fact, I know my favorite one, is still John Cena and Umaga. I just thought they had a great, great match, great finish. And the match was going well, but you know, unfortunately, the finish brought it down a few points. The referee stopping the count look, I don't know what I would have done in that situation, or maybe someone got in his ear and said, you know, stop counting. Yeah, maybe they could have had Heyman get up and go. Heyman could have punched him in the face or something. I don't know. Need him in the balls. It was unfortunate. But it was the right outcome. Roman Reigns should not be losing the Universal Championship anytime soon. I'm not even sure Roman should lose the title at WrestleMania. Roman should be champion for a while longer. And taking the title off of him now would have been crazy. Now, there was no Jey Uso on this show. Jey Uso originally was supposed to be in the Men's Rumble match. And I noticed earlier today that he was removed from the graphic. Now, maybe he was removed from the graphic on Friday night and I just didn't notice, but I noticed it earlier. So Jey Uso now has not been on TV for about 2-3 weeks. And he was nowhere on the show tonight. So you can kind of use your imagination and you're like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Whatever it is, obviously something is going on because he was nowhere to be found on the show tonight. Hopefully everything is okay. Yeah, Quizzical1 in the chat says that Roman should hold on to it at least through... I would say, you know, until it'll feel right. And I don't know if Daniel Bryan is that person. I don't know who that person is. Who it's going to just feel like, okay, that's the guy that should be the one to beat him and take the championship from him. I think we'll just kind of know when we get to that point. So maybe it's WrestleMania, maybe it's SummerSlam, maybe it's next year's WrestleMania. Yeah, Roman is in the middle of the best period, I think, of his career. He's doing the best work of his career right now. He's having really good matches, but just character-wise. And the alliance with Heyman is just firing on all cylinders, and it's really carrying the TV shows in a lot of ways. And there's no reason to, you know, derail that by having him drop the championship anytime in the next few months, I don't think. It's definitely not what I would do. Welcome, by the way, to everybody who is joining tonight live on the stream here. We're going into the main event here in just a second. And then we got a contest, which I know some of you are here for that. So we're going to get to that as well. Some people are going to win some belts. Going to walk away with some championship belts tonight. Oh, I said belts. Don't tell Vince. I'm sure he'll be very upset. Okay. Then it was time for the 30-man Royal Rumble match. They announced who would be number one and number two on WWE backstage last night. They just gave it away. Just gave it away. Just like they did in 99. With Austin and McMahon. Edge was out at number one. I thought Randy Orton was announced at number one. I guess it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, number one and number two were the same thing. Edge was out at number one. Randy Orton was out at number two. Edge did not want to wait for him to even hit the ring. Before Orton could even hit the ring, Edge was already out of the ring, going after him, and beating the hell out of this guy. Because the last time we saw these two together was the greatest wrestling match ever. I mean, it must be. WWE told us so. I think it's priceless that when WWE put their own, or WWE.com, put its own list together of the greatest matches, the top 10 matches of 2020, their own list, the greatest wrestling match ever, I think was number two. I'm pretty sure it was Boneyard number one, and I think they put that at number two. I just think that's fucking hilarious. I just think that's funny. And by the way, Randy Orton comes out, his face, totally fine. We just saw him on TV last week. He still had burns all over his face. He comes out tonight, not a mark on him. All gone. No blisters. No nothing. I need the name of this guy. I want to know who this guy's dermatologist is. That's what I want to know. Sami Zayn was out at number three. Mustafa Ali at number four. They're all ganging up on Edge. Now, let me stop here for a second. Coming into this show, you know, when I did the predictions and everything the other day, you know, because I've been talking about Daniel Bryan now for a while and why I wanted to see Daniel Bryan be the one to win the Royal Rumble. And then I saw that promo from Edge on Monday night where he talked about his mom encouraging him to get into the business and being the champion back in 2011 and having it taken away from him and having to retire. And him thinking back to the words his mom told him many years ago, just go for it, just go for it. And, you know, that kept his fire and passion alive for 9 years to work, to come back to the ring. And he knows that every day that goes by, he's getting older and that window is closing and closing. And so he's going to go to the Royal Rumble and he's going to do what his mom told him. He's going to go for it. But just the way he delivered it, I said, that's a fucking wrestling promo right there. That's the kind of promo that somebody gives that you can get behind. That's like old school shit where you had these characters on TV that you could actually get behind. You wanted to see them win. You wanted to see them succeed. And so I thought, you know, yeah, it's not ideal. He's, you know, a part-time guy, the older guy coming back. But man, that story works, and I would love to see him challenge not McIntyre, but Roman Reigns. So I kind of, my whole perspective on this match shifted. And I said, Edge. Edge is the one. Edge should win this match. When I saw that he was entering at number two, I thought, well, I'm sticking to my pick, but it's not looking great. Jeff Hardy was out at number five. He eats an RKO by Orton. Just like that, it's 2008 all over again. RKO to Sami Zayn, RKO to Ali. Edge catches Orton with a spear. Edge takes Orton outside. They're on top of the announce desk. Edge hits Orton with an implant DDT. And Orton landed knee first, too, right on top of the desk. When they replayed it, they kind of tried to sell that, you know, maybe he hurt his knee. Edge then took a chair to the left knee, not the same one, but a different knee. And Orton was selling it like it was a legitimate injury. You know, he was really pissed. He was cursing at himself. The referees came over to check on him. He was refusing their help. And then he, you know, accepted their help and they were helping him to the back. So they were really selling it like he might have been legitimately hurt. But they made it a point to say that he wasn't eliminated. And then later on during the match, they cut to the trainer's room to show you that Randy Orton was being tended to. And, you know, we don't know if he's going to come back. It's like, he's going to fucking come back. Of course he's going to come back. And you're thinking The Fiend is going to get involved in some way. Because Randy Orton can't possibly be winning another fucking Royal Rumble. He would have tied Austin's record. He won one in 09. He won it in 2017. So, I mean, look at the options here, realistically. Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble and challenges what? Drew McIntyre for the fucking 15th time? Or goes heel versus heel against Roman Reigns? So you knew that there was some kind of, he was going to come back, but yeah, he's probably not going to win. Number six was Dolph Ziggler entering his 14th Royal Rumble, making him second all-time only to Kane. And Ziggler eliminates Jeff Hardy. Man, you know, Jeff Hardy, whew, he is just being treated like dog shit right now. Feels like every week on TV, Jeff Hardy, how many times in a row did he tap out to Bobby Lashley? And I think it's great that Bobby Lashley is being kept strong. But I don't know, it's just kind of strange to me that you have this guy who's been positioned as at one time a main eventer, and now he's, you know, more of a middle of the card guy, but still mid to upper card, is just going out there week after week and kind of being jobbed out like that. And then here in the Rumble, he gets in. And again, a few minutes later, he just gets dumped out. Is he being punished? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of strange the way he's being booked and treated on TV. It's very weird. Number seven was Shinsuke Nakamura, who cut a really good promo. He posted it on his Twitter page earlier today or late last night. Of him just standing in Tropicana Field, like 2 minutes, just a mix of English and Japanese, talking about when he won the Royal Rumble 3 years ago, and, you know, he didn't win the world title, and things didn't quite go the way that he had wanted to, and now the King of Strong Style was back. It's actually a very good promo. Would have been nice to air that on TV. He comes out. Number eight was Carlito. Carlito Caribbean Cool. I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. Heard that music, I'm in, man, that takes me back. I haven't heard that music in a while. And Carlito comes out, and Carlito calls himself, he's a body guy now. That's what he calls himself. I'm a body guy now. He is. He comes out. He's in better shape now than he was when he was 11 years younger. But yeah, Carlito came out, and he looked great, and Samoa Joe had the line of the night. I'm sorry. Nothing else could top this. Samoa Joe just goes, what's in those apples? That's what I'm asking myself. What is in those apples, and are these Royal Rumble cameo participants subject to the wellness policy? That's what I want to know. Xavier Woods was out at number 9, and Big E at number 10, and together they eliminate Sami Zayn. And by the way, I mean, Carlito, it's not like he's got a freaky physique. You know, I'm sure it can be attained naturally, but it's just weird to me that when he was in WWE getting the big push at first, and now you look at him now and he looks the same. I mean, like in the face and everything, he doesn't look like that much older or anything. I'm sure Vince McMahon would love to have Carlito back on the roster. If they could find a spot for him, if he were down, I wouldn't mind having Carlito back on TV. He didn't spit any apples tonight because, you know, that would not be very sanitary during COVID to be spitting apples in people's face, I wouldn't think. But I don't know. Maybe we'll get a Carlito run out of it. What do you guys think? Do you want Carlito back? Do we have any Carlito fans in the chat? I wouldn't mind having him back. Xavier Woods was out at number 9. I said Big E at number 10. Number 11 was John Morrison. And Ricochet was out next at number 12. Yes, Ricochet. The same Ricochet who lost a qualifying match only a few weeks ago to AJ Styles. Somehow made his way into the Royal Rumble. How about that? Elias was out at number 13. And he eliminated Carlito. I thought that was garbage. Yeah, that's right. We have people in the chat pointing out MVP. MVP was from that same time period, right? Maybe a little before. No, he's from this. I think he was from that same era that Carlito was there. If MVP could come back and have a successful run, why not Carlito? Wouldn't mind seeing it. Be fine with me. Number 14 was Damian Priest. There he is. I've been waiting for this guy. Thought he was going to debut on TV a few weeks ago. Rey Mysterio maybe was going to bring him in as his surprise to go after Baron Corbin. Instead, he debuted here. Number 15, they gave him a lot of eliminations too. Number 15 was The Miz, who before coming to the ring, he walked over to where Bad Bunny had left his DJ turntables, and he destroyed them. He destroyed his equipment. This is because earlier there was a backstage segment I glossed over because who gives a shit? But there was a segment where The Miz and Morrison were embarrassed in the back by Bad Bunny, and Booker T was, you know, they were talking smack about Booker T, and then Booker T is standing right behind The Miz. So The Miz was embarrassed. He was embarrassed by this evil bunny. So he destroys his equipment. This brings out the angry bunny. The angry bunny comes out, and with Miz and Morrison distracted, Damian Priest eliminated both of them at the same time. The ultimate babyface. He got rid of the Miz and Morrison. And then Bad Bunny did a dive from the top rope. He did the same thing with Stephen Amell many years ago, when he worked a match, I think, at SummerSlam one year. That was his big spot, right, doing a dive off the off the top rope. I love that Ultimate Warrior Super Chat. But Bad Bunny does a dive from the top rope, wiping out the heels. And I just laughed when I saw it. You know, and it was fine. You know, he didn't kill himself on the dive. But I'm just thinking, man, you know my thoughts on all the dives in wrestling right now. I have no use for it. I think it's so overdone and so fucking dumb. In every company. Not just this company, but every company. Now they got the celebrities doing it. First, we got Snoop Dogg on Dynamite doing a dive off the top rope. And this one was much better than that one. Fucking Snoop Dogg is doing dives. Bad Bunny is doing dives. It's infecting everything, everyone now. Has to do a dive. It's like a rite of passage now in wrestling. Can you do a dive? No? Well, then you can't come in. You're not welcome. Ridiculous. Enough with the fucking dives. Number 16 was Matt Riddle, followed by Daniel Bryan at number 17, and Kane At number 18, Mayor Kane making his 18th Royal Rumble appearance. That's an all-time record. We briefly had a Team Hell No reunion. Kane and Bryan, they shared a hug in the middle of the ring before Kane chokeslammed him. They let Damian Priest get the elimination on Kane. So that was, for him, that's probably a pretty big deal. Number 19 was King Corbin, who eliminated Shinsuke Nakamura. So thanks for coming, Nakamura. The King of Strong Style is back, and he went splat right on the floor. Michael Cole gave a random birthday shout-out to Giant Gonzalez, who's been dead for 11 years. Otis was number 20. He got dumped out quickly by Baron Corbin. Number 21 was Dominic Mysterio. So much for me getting number 21 in our Royal Rumble pool. He eliminates Corbin. Number 22 is Bobby Lashley, who launched Dominic Mysterio into another dimension. Eventually, he came back down to Earth. He came back down to Earth 1 at some point, and he crashed on the floor, and that was the end of Dominic Mysterio. And Lashley dumped out Damian Priest. Number 23 was Hurricane Helms. You mean to tell me that you had to put Hurricane in this thing? You couldn't put fucking Mantar in his place? I'm sorry. It's just, it's a disgrace. He got dumped quickly by Big E and Lashley. Then we got to number 24. This was newsworthy. Number 24 was Christian. 7 years after his last real match in WWE, I'm not counting whatever that was with Randy Orton on TV a few months ago. That wasn't really a match. 7 years. Christian had to retire due to concussions. And he was back here in the Royal Rumble 1 year after his best friend Edge made his return in the Royal Rumble after 9 years away, 9 years in retirement. Edge comes back in 2020. Christian comes back in 2021. They're both in the ring at the same time. Edge, you know, he's on the floor. He's been in there since the beginning of the match. He's half dead, but he looks up. He cracks a smile when he sees Christian coming down to the ring. And once Christian gets in, they share an embrace in the middle of the ring. And I'm just like, God damn, man. Like, this is a moment that needed fans in the building. Ah! One of those moments that you can't get back, you know? The Edge and Christian reunion. In the middle of this, I mean, think about Edge's return last year and that big reaction he got. And I mean, Edge was a bigger star than Christian was, but still. The two of them in the ring, the Edge and Christian reunion, that's a moment that needed an audience, man. It sucks. It sucks. Number 25 was AJ Styles, who came out with his bodyguard, who apparently is no longer, I noticed this on Monday night, they're not calling him Omos anymore. Right, where are they calling him Omos for the entire time, ever since he debuted as AJ's bodyguard? Now he is being called Omas. All right. I guess we're going to call him Omas from now on. That is now how he should be referred to. AJ ate a spear from Edge. This time he didn't separate his shoulder like he did last year. Number 26 was Rey Mysterio. And in case you missed it, because WWE was pimping the hell out of it, Rey Mysterio had a Victoria Beer logo on his mask, right in the middle of his mask. And Michael Cole, very unnaturally, in the middle of all this, in the middle of the Royal Rumble, is talking about this new relationship, this new partnership between WWE and Victoria Beer. Apparently they have a beer company now as a new sponsor. And Rey Mysterio, I guess, is going to be the representative or the spokesperson. I don't know if this is one of these new deals. You know, now that WWE has taken all these third-party deals in-house, is this part of that where they're running everything through the company and Rey Mysterio is going to get a cut of... Like, I don't know how this is working. This is very interesting to me. I got to find out more details about how this relationship came about. And if other wrestlers are going to be able to also become spokespeople for these other products. Giovanni Zarate, thank you for the $50, man. Look at sad Vince McMahon. That's the look of a man who lost a lot of money in that super chat. But Giovanni, thank you, man. Thank you for the 50 spot. That means a lot. So yes, in case you didn't know, Rey Mysterio now the new spokesperson for Victoria Beer. Omos helped get rid of Big E Later on, he helped get rid of Rey Mysterio. So he got involved a couple of times in this match. Number 27 was Sheamus. Number 28 was Cesaro. They teased a bar reunion, but Cesaro very quickly gave him a giant swing. And then Daniel Bryan got the giant swing. Number 29 was Seth Rollins for the first time since Survivor Series. Still doing his crappy Messiah gimmick. I do not like the Messiah. But there he was, Seth Rollins back. Spoiled, by the way. His wife spoiled his return. Becky Lynch put a picture on Twitter of the curtain. Yeah, how the curtain that you go through, you saw it when Goldberg came through the red curtain in the back that has the big asterisk star right in the middle of it, where you go into the gorilla position. She tweeted out a photo from right in front of that curtain during the Women's Rumble. So she was trying to be cute, and I guess wanted people to think that she was going to be a surprise entry in the Women's Rumble. I'm guessing that she was there, and that wasn't like an old photo. And obviously, if she wasn't in the Women's Rumble, then one could only be led to believe that her husband was going to be in the men. So I know there was other stuff out there about Rollins. I didn't read any of that stuff, so I wasn't sure if he was going to be there or not until I saw the tweet from Becky Lynch. And then I said, okay, obviously Seth Rollins is going to be coming out. And sure enough, there he was. And number 30 in the Royal Rumble match was Braun Strowman. Made his return to SmackDown on Friday night. Braun Strowman eliminates Sheamus. He dumps AJ Styles out. Double spear by Edge and Christian takes down the big man. We had some fun chain wrestling for a few minutes with Daniel Bryan and Matt Riddle. There's a match I'd love to see. Rollins was laying low outside. So Rollins, at some point, had left the ring, and he was out there crouched down waiting for the right moment. And so after Bryan and Riddle have their little exchange, Rollins sees an opportunity. He slides back into the ring and he gives Daniel Bryan a curb stomp. And he picks up Daniel Bryan and he tosses Daniel Bryan right out to the floor. And Daniel Bryan is eliminated from the Royal Rumble match. A lot of very upset people, I'm sure, after that. So Rollins then works with Riddle, which I thought was funny. And my understanding is the two of them have made up. Rollins did not want to work with Riddle. He was not very happy about comments that Riddle's wife had made a few years ago about Becky Lynch on social media. I don't know if some other stuff may have happened. There was legitimate heat there. But apparently, a few months ago, whatever, they worked out their differences. And this was the first time we got to see the two of them work together here in the Royal Rumble match. Curb stomp on the apron to Matt Riddle, who then falls to the floor. So Riddle is gone. And now we're down to the final four, or what we thought were the final four. Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Edge, and Christian. And yes, thank you for pointing that out, John, but Matt Riddle did do good tonight. I mean, he had a good showing tonight. Riddle was probably in there for almost half an hour. They gave him a lot of time in that Rumble match. He worked with a lot of people, so I thought this was a good night for Matt Riddle. He was not going to win, but I thought it was a good night for him. So Rollins is trying to make the pitch to Braun Strowman, right? He's saying, look, you and I, let's work together. Let's get rid of these guys. All right, let's just get rid of them, and then you and I can be the last two men here in this match. And Braun Strowman obviously was not interested in doing business with Seth Rollins, and he took him down, got rid of him. Rollins ends up dumping Strowman and Christian, and so they're gone. He eliminates them. Those two are out. It's down to Seth Rollins and Edge. And Edge dumps Seth Rollins out to the floor. And it appears that, or they want you to think, that Edge has won the Royal Rumble. Almost immediately, who should come up from behind Edge? It's Randy Orton. Randy Orton hits the RKO. And I'm thinking, motherfucker. Because I thought for sure Edge was going out. Even though it really didn't make sense for Orton to win, they got me in that moment. And I'm like, either the lights are going to start to flicker because of the Fiend, the Fiend's going to show up in some way, or Randy Orton is going to win this match. And then they're going to have to come up with some kind of convoluted storyline between now and WrestleMania to explain why he's not going to get the shot, or he'll put his shot on the line and lose it. So I thought, because he immediately picks up Edge, and you think, well, Edge is going out. He goes to throw Edge out of the ring, but Edge sidesteps him, he reverses it, and instead Edge throws Orton out of the ring. And just like that, Edge wins his second Royal Rumble, the first time in 11 years. 2010 was his first Rumble win. Also, a Rumble where he was making his return after an extended break due to injury. That was the Achilles injury that he had suffered the summer before. And Edge is going to WrestleMania at the age of, how old is Edge now? 40, what? 46? 47? Edge is going to WrestleMania. And the question now is, to challenge who? Because they've made it clear that he can choose the champion he wants to wrestle. Edge is, considered a Raw star, right? He's on the Raw roster. He can challenge Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. He can challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I said it before, I think it should be Edge and Roman Reigns. That, to me, is the match that appeals to me the most of those two. Roman Reigns is talking about being the head of the table. Edge can come in and say, you know, I'm the one who set the table here long before you even came along. And I don't have too many of these left. In fact, this could be the last time I ever set foot in the main event of WrestleMania. You've been running your mouth for a long time now. The last few months I've been watching, I've been paying attention. I choose you. And you set the match up, and just imagine the promo work involving Reigns and Heyman and Edge. The promo work leading into a WrestleMania main event match between those two. That should be the match at WrestleMania. And it's for a championship that Edge can say, I've never had the chance to be the Universal Champion before. That's the one title I've never held. I'd like to try to take it from Roman Reigns. Daniel Bryan, if they end up going with McIntyre and Edge, yeah, that's okay too. And Daniel Bryan is going to be fine. I think Daniel Bryan could win the Elimination Chamber if it's not going to be Edge and Roman. It could still be Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's really all Bryan has to do, I guess, right, is win the Elimination Chamber. We are going to get Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns. If not at WrestleMania, we're going to get it at some point not long after WrestleMania. That match is coming. That match has a whole backstory of its own. I look forward to it. But the right man won. At least I got one of my Rumble picks correct. I came so close to getting them both right. It bugs the shit out of me. But anyway, yeah. So Edge, it's a great comeback story for him. I mean, look, here's a guy who shouldn't even be wrestling right now. 9 fucking years this guy was gone. I never thought we'd see Edge back in the ring again. I mean, almost a decade goes by. The guy had spinal issues. And you're thinking, all right, well, you know, he's moved on in his life. He's doing the acting thing now. Now, his comeback got derailed by an injury. That's the other question. Can Edge stay injury-free? There is a risk in putting somebody who has been injury-prone in the past in a championship WrestleMania main event. If he gets hurt, you're fucked. And you've got to come up with a plan B. So that's the other thing they have to watch out for with someone like Edge, is that hopefully he can stay healthy. But when I talked about what I think the marquee matches could be at WrestleMania this year, with the idea that they have 2 per night, because they have 2 nights of WrestleMania, you do 4, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. If that's what they're looking for, if they're looking for big marquee matches and kind of dipping back into the pool of old names to bring back and use, which, you know, right or wrong, you know that's what they're going to do. Edge and Reigns. Drew McIntyre could defend the WWE title against John Cena. And you can tell that story about John Cena trying to go for title number 17. John Cena is likely going to be at WrestleMania. It could be against Drew McIntyre. You've got Goldberg, who is probably going to have a match at WrestleMania. It does not need to be for a title. What about Randy Orton? Goldberg and Orton, there's a match that hasn't been done in a very long time. Almost 20 years. Believe it or not, it's been 20 years since the last time we've seen Goldberg in a ring with Randy Orton. And the other match you could do is the match that AJ Styles has said that he wants. AJ Styles and Triple H. If you want to get Triple H back in the ring, there it is. Triple H and AJ. You throw in Sasha and Bianca. Maybe they can still get to Charlotte and Rhea. Maybe something involving Asuka and them. And then you'll have your WrestleMania card pretty much set up and ready to go. So let's turn to the Twitter poll, see what you guys thought of tonight's pay-per-view. I did put the thumbs in the middle option. There it is. We got over 2,000 votes already. 72% thumbs up. 20% of you said thumbs in the middle. Only 7% thumbs down. So that is an overall very positive score for the Royal Rumble this year. So it seems like you guys overall like the show. I mean, I would give the show a thumbs up. I would not give it an enthusiastic, super strong thumbs up, but I do think it was a thumbs up show. This show could have gone so many bad ways. It could have gone sideways so many different ways. And they could have done so many stupid things tonight. And I give them credit for, you know, for the most part, with the Rumble winners and everything, I think they did the right thing. Let us switch over, because we got a lot of super chats to get through. A lot of your messages that you guys have been sending in. Sylvia Quintanilla with the $30. I've been listening since 2018 and really became a fan of your podcast in 2020. It's my birthday today, and I just wanted to thank you for being a part of what got me through 2020. Keep up the great work, Solomon. So, well, Sylvia, I appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Lord Frieza, I enjoyed the Women's Rumble more than the men's. I don't know if it's as bad as 2015. No. No, it is not. I will answer that question for you. There was nothing that happened on the show tonight that comes anywhere close to as bad as 2015. So let's not exaggerate. Let's not go that far. Jaren, Edge and Christian reuniting had me shedding a tear. Ryan Spies, Edge winning Christian's return match sums up WWE's feelings about those two. Leather Rebel just came from work. Royal Rumble now. Want to support you. Well, thank you. Thank you, Leather Rebel. Jacob Donnelly with the $50. Holy shit, how'd I miss that one? I'm 100% sold on Edge versus Roman for Mania, if that is the direction. Solid Rumble with all the right outcomes. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Again, I think Edge and Roman is the direction to go in. Thank you, Jacob. Wow. Skull Dipper, 125, also with the 50. Happy with the outcome of the Rumble matches and overall thought it was a good show, despite no fans. Yeah, it's tough. It cannot be the way that the Rumble is meant to be if you don't have fans in the building to count along and to react to big moments like some of the ones we had tonight. It's just not the same. It's very hollow. Now, they tried their best. Can you imagine a Royal Rumble without there being any of the piped-in crowd noise if it was just total silence? It was one of the reasons why when I would flip on Impact, and I think now Impact has like a noise track, but whether it's Impact or some of these other shows, you know, Ring of Honor, when I've tuned in a time or two, it's just awful to not have. And again, it's not their fault, but there is something to be said for making, you know, that ambient noise part of the soundtrack of the show. It does help a little bit, but you can't replicate the fan experience. When it comes to the Royal Rumble, you can't replicate the fan experience without fans in the building. Brian Becerra, the Rumble was good for the most part, had number 8 in the pool, and boy, was that a disappointment. Oh well, always next year. Uffman Entertainment, now I'm crazy curious as to what that scary possible ending was. Yeah, that WrestleVotes talked about. Look, it could have been, I'm sure they considered a whole bunch of different outcomes. And so take your pick as far as what the worst one of that could have been. It could have involved Goldberg. It could have involved The Fiend. It could have involved somebody maybe that we're not even thinking of. I'd rather not know. Ace of Masta got number 1 in the pool. So happy for that Edge and Orton switch. Oh, it's Max the Axe. What's going on, Max? Kira Zabel. That Edge promo was what sold me on his Royal Rumble win. Anthony, thank you for the 5. Bogus Fan, with the $20, entered a Rumble pool with some friends and drew number two. I was screwed. Anyway, Solo Monster, keep up the great work. Been a fan since December of 2013. Bilv, 1504. Any chance this will end in Edge versus Orton title match? No. Why would you even want to see that? You know, I mean, I think we've done the Edge Orton thing. I know they're 1-1, and there's going to be this need. Oh, there's got to be a rubber match. No. I don't think there necessarily has to be. I don't need another Edge and Orton match. James Kowaleski, thank you for the support. Your boy Ed. What's going on, Ed? Your boy Ed says, been a fan for the past year, no Fiend tonight. What do you think is the plan for Orton and the Fiend? I think we're going to get a Firefly Funhouse match. I don't know if they can drag this out until WrestleMania or if they might do something at Elimination Chamber, but I would think they would do something like a Firefly Funhouse match. And the Fiend would get his win back. Let me ask you this, because I was thinking about the Fiend a little bit earlier. You know, there were a lot of people who were really interested in what the Fiend was doing when he first showed up, and it was very creative. A lot of the stuff that Bray Wyatt has a creative mind. He's a very creative thinking guy, very hands-on with his character. And he was doing stuff that we had never seen before, and it was kind of creepy, and you didn't really know where it was going before it got into all the really, like, kind of stupid supernatural stuff. And now here we are, and the Fiend, to me, just feels like another guy on the roster. All the people who were a fan of the Fiend, how do you feel about the Fiend today? At this moment here, we're in, what are we now? February of 2021. Do you still want to see The Fiend go challenge for a championship, for example, at WrestleMania this year? I mean, do you feel the same way about The Fiend now that you did a year ago? Because I think when he lost to Goldberg, a lot of that magic was just gone. And it might even go back, frankly, it might go back earlier than that. If we talk about that Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins, it just doesn't feel the same. And I'm wondering if I'm the only one who feels that way, that the Fiend is, the Fiend kind of feels finished. So I'm curious if you agree. But yeah, Sheikah Maru, hey man, fellow New Yorker here from Queens, hope all is well. All is good. We got a blizzard coming in New York. I hear the snow outside my window. Apparently we're getting up to 24 inches of snow here in New York City. That fucking sucks. So I'm not going to be able to see my car outside. I have kind of an older car. Well, it's 2007, but I've got to run the engine every few days, because if not, that car probably isn't going to start. Now the car is going to be buried. Fucking snow, man. When I was a kid, man, you got a snow day from school. It was the best thing. And it really is true. You become an adult. You become a very jaded adult like me, and I hear about a blizzard coming, and I'm like, fuck. I got a shovel. So yeah, we're getting 2 feet of snow here in New York. Hopefully in Queens, maybe it won't be as bad as it is here in Brooklyn. EJ, really good episode tonight. A really good Rumble tonight. I am really enjoying the Yokozuna documentary. I have a random question. What is your favorite Steven Spielberg movie? I guess Jaws, right? That was Spielberg. I mean, Spielberg's had so many of them. I mean, you have E.T. Back to the Future was. Remember, that was Robert Zemeckis. I'm going to go with Jaws. Since that's the only one, for whatever reason at this moment, it's the only one that I have on my brain. Jaws is an all-time classic. Stray Bullet. Edge deserved it. Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns stole the show for a match. No one expected Kevin Owens to win. It was a blast. Jacob Barnes with the $10. Since Finn Balor and Pete Dunne will probably have a match at TakeOver on Valentine's Day, could you see afterwards Karrion Kross and Finn Balor for the NXT title at WrestleMania? I don't know that that's the direction they're going in. I don't know. Having an NXT championship match at WrestleMania, it's possible. They're going to have two nights of WrestleMania. They got to fill the card up somehow. Balor and Karrion Kross. Maybe. Because after the Pete Dunne match, I mean, who would be next in line unless they're going to go with O'Reilly for a third time? There really is no obvious next opponent for Balor. Ken terminated. I have a bad feeling that Orton will win the WWE title at the Elimination Chamber, and then at WrestleMania, Edge challenges Orton for the title. Well, I hope that does not happen. I really hope that doesn't happen. There's no need for that. There is no need to put the championship on Randy Orton again. They can wrap up this stuff with Orton and The Fiend if they want to drag it out that far. But anything involving McIntyre and Orton, it's just so tired at this point. It's been done. It goes back to SummerSlam. Enough. James Hollins, no Fiend tonight. I am confused. Well, he was burned. He was burned alive. So it kind of makes sense that you wouldn't hear from him. Rodimus Prime, again with the $75 Mantar Super Chat earlier. Thank you, brother. He thought it was a decent show. Super happy for Bianca. Christian entered the Royal Rumble pool for the first time and won. I drew number one and was happy that Orton and Edge switched numbers. Great Rumbles this year. True Heel Master, Bad Bunny, Miz and Morrison WrestleMania storyline is coming. Booking it. TH Revolution sent $15 in. Thank you, TH. I thought the show overall was pretty good. Also, want to pull thanks to Bianca. My question is, do you think there is any possibility of Christian having more matches in the future after that showing? Absolutely. If they allowed him back in the ring tonight, there's no reason to think that if they want him for a special match here and there. Or, look, there's money. There's that word again. But there's money in doing Edge and Christian reunion matches at some point. So if Christian was cleared to be in the Royal Rumble, then he's cleared. Like, when it comes to concussions and the wellness policy and stuff, you know, the company can't afford to be fucking around here. I think it's great if they have cleared Christian to come back and do some matches here and there. Because his career ended very unceremoniously. I'm sure he wasn't very happy with his career ending the way that it did. But you can't say, we're going to let you do the Rumble. And he was in there for a while. It wasn't like he was in and out. Well, you're okay for the Rumble, but we're not going to clear you to do anything more than that. It doesn't work that way. He's either well enough to perform or he's not. So the fact that he was in the Rumble tonight leads me to believe that, yeah, we're going to see more. If he wants to wrestle, we're going to see more Christian in the ring. I guess the decision is up to him. But I think to do some Edge and Christian tag team matches. Imagine doing Edge and Christian against the Usos, if the Usos are ever, you know, put back together. You don't think some people would like to see Edge and Christian against the Usos? You don't think that would be a fun match to do? I mean, they don't have many tag teams at the moment in WWE. You could do Edge and Christian against New Day. Of course, there'd be a ton of interest in seeing that as an attraction. Let's see. Who we got here? Alfonso Rodriguez. Been a listener since 2009. Wow. Long time. Long time listener. Love your show. Keep up the great work. That Edge and Randy finish really got me off my seat. Yeah, they had me there for a second. Erasmo Solis, that Edge and Christian moment. Damn. Connor McColgan, I enjoyed this pay-per-view, but man, it was very long. It didn't really feel any longer than a Rumble pay-per-view would be. Horror fan Craig, I enjoyed the show tonight. The right people won in all of the matches. Stray Bullet, Ruthless Aggression era always gets crapped on, particularly by the Divas. Edge won the Royal Rumble, but the Divas get shortchanged. Craig Brown, man, this Rumble could have been great for Aleister Black. Yeah, don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on Aleister Black. I heard this rumor that they're holding him out on purpose. They've got big plans for Aleister Black. I'll believe it when I see it. In the meantime, he is wasting away. Aleister Black is not 29 years old. He's not 26 years old. He's not 31 years old. And this guy is just sitting on his ass at home, wasting away. Valuable years of his career, completely being flushed down the fucking toilet. For what? For what reason? For what reason? Cody Moore, Kevin Owens stole the show. Damn it, Dan. There it is. Damn it. I don't know if Damn It Dan is still with us, but that $150, man, that blew me back on my heels. So thank you again to him. True heel master, Carmella went through the lower ropes to do the dive like Darby Allin. Did she? Okay. I just remember the dive itself. Maybe she went through the bottom ropes. Either way, she almost fucking killed herself. Hopefully she's okay. Ryan spies Bad Bunny look like Robbie E. Danny, sad that we didn't get to see Big Blue Dot in 8K. Yeah, where was the blue dot over Christian's face? How come there was no blue dot? I thought Vince McMahon thought he was so ugly, he once considered putting a blue dot over his face. That's a famous story. Brian Blair. Not a top 10 Rumble, but not bad either. Edge winning the Rumble was predictable, but a win. Charlotte not winning the Rumble is a win. Nia not crippling anyone is a win. Well, we don't have the medical report yet coming out of this show, so let's not jump the gun. I'll tell you what, some of those bumps that some of the women took from Rhea Ripley, I wouldn't be surprised if they were in a bad way. There were a couple of spots there where Rhea, the way that she dumped them down, she was not fucking around during this match. Andrew Lolivar, wish Brian won the Rumble. Edge has heels that he can face at WrestleMania instead of Roman like Rollins and AJ. Meanwhile, Brian and Roman got a Mania-level story. Dallas Caballero. With Daniel Bryan going part-time in the future, his royal dream dead? Markout moment for Christian. Peep for life. No, it's never over. I mean, even if he starts going in part-time, he can still be in the Royal Rumble every year if he wants to be in the Royal Rumble. So maybe one day. Maybe next year. Lance Morrell. Final two of the Women's Rumble reminded me of Cena and Batista from 2005. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I had the same feeling. And I just watched that Rumble again the other day. Exactly. Those are the two stars of the future. Cena for SmackDown, Batista for Raw. Here it was Rhea for what I assume is going to end up being Raw, Bianca for SmackDown. And I said, stars of that women's division, the stars of their future were right there in the ring there in the last few minutes of that Rumble match. Those are two of the women that you build that division around. Absolutely. Professor John Gotti, again, man, you are a crazy man. You are a crazy man with that $200 drop. As the disgusted Brandy Rhodes pops up on my screen. But Professor John Gotti was a big fan of that Bianca Belair win. Kira Zabel, feel like Almas debut is soon approaching. If so, who would you put him against? Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Andrade Cien Almas. As far as who would I put him against, well, if he's going to still be on Raw, well, let's see. Who would I start him out against? I don't know, maybe somebody like Riddle. I'll put him in there with Jeff Hardy. Everybody else is beating him anyway. At least we know that Almas will get a win. And then eventually he can work his way up the roster. Now, I want to know what's going on with Angel Garza. Angel Garza is another guy who can be a bigger star in the future. Has all the tools. And he just disappeared. They were doing some stupid story with him. He was giving a rose to some mystery woman. And then, like so many things on TV, like the Lars Sullivan stuff on SmackDown, it just got dropped. You try to get invested in some of this stuff, and they don't even care enough to continue on with it. They just drop it. I'd like to know what's going on with him, too. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $10, Nayef. Alex Jimenez, glad to see my childhood hero come out on top. Quan's World, thank you for the $10. Shane Hughes, my kid mainly focuses on the women. He has a hard time watching Raw. Well, back in the Attitude Era, there were a lot of younger fans who were also very much focused on the women. That is why Sable's edition of Playboy, I think at that time, was one of the highest selling copies of all time. Back then, that was a big deal. Sable being in Playboy, that was a very big deal. Trust me. I heard. Anti. What's up, Solomonster? In your opinion, who is the best WWE horsewoman overall, and who do you think the WWE fan base thinks is the best overall? Well, the fan base has been trained and conditioned to think that Charlotte Flair is the best, so they probably think that she is. Me personally, I think it would be, you know, it's tough. They're all very good. You know, Becky Lynch is the one who got over the biggest. Now, that doesn't mean that she's the best in the ring. It just means that she got over the biggest and the best. And her social media game with the Ronda stuff was just on point. I would say of all of them, my favorite is it's Sasha. And I also don't think Bayley gets enough credit. Bayley has been tremendous during this heel run. So I actually might go Sasha Bayley. But again, the audience has been, if you ask the WWE casual audience, they would probably tell you Charlotte Flair. They might say Sasha because Sasha is very popular. But they've been conditioned to think that Charlotte Flair is just the end-all be-all. She is the best of all time. And there are people who think that. There are people who think Charlotte Flair is or will go on to be the best of all time. She's just that good. She can do no wrong. So you get a difference of opinion there, but I think that's what they want you to think. They want you to think that Charlotte is the best, and I don't think it's that simple. Favorite for me would be Sasha. Nathan Caddy, you thought this pay-per-view was overall lackluster. The Men's Rumble. Men's Rumble did not feel entirely special. The Orton angle made the match drag. Natural Born Thriller with the $75 super chat. That was the half man, half mantar, half beast mantar super chat. Juan Bermudez, I love Bad Bunny, but why most people didn't like him? I mean, is that the consensus? Is there a lot of Bad Bunny hate? I was just talking about him because I didn't know who he was. I don't hate the guy. Is there a lot of Bad Bunny hate that I'm unaware of? Is there something he did or something he said that made people hate him so much? I didn't get the impression there's a lot of Bad Bunny hate. Steve Heredia, thank you for the $10. Pro wrestling and video game fan 486. I really enjoyed the Rumble. Both Rumbles were pretty good. I am happy with the two winners as well. The Universal title match was also good. It was very good. Last Man Standing match was very good. The Barf Nuggets, 24, I had that for dinner. I wish Cameron Grimes won the Royal Rumble. Poor Cameron Grimes, I think he's still out with an injury. We haven't seen him in a while. Sean Waters just joined, was watching the Yokozuna documentary before the Rumble, or after the Rumble. Definitely a must watch. Also, Cole was just terrible tonight. No reaction after Roman threw Kevin onto the table. It talks about Rey Mysterio's beer. Well, I'm sure they, you know, they told him, really play it up nice. Really play up the beer. True Heel Master. It's too bad Bad Bunny did not have a butcher or a blade by his... You know what? That's true. That's true. He needs a butcher and a blade. Giovanni Zarate. I don't understand why everyone was so hard on Bad Bunny. He's a Latino rapper, and he's obviously not for everyone, just like how some wrestlers are not for everyone. Kira Zabel, again, calling him Almas instead of Almos, might be because of Raw Talk when AJ stated he hates when people get his name wrong. Julian Shaw, fun show overall. Do you think Carmella is ready for a title reign in 2021? Well, look, she has more than held her own in the matches with Sasha. But I don't believe there is a spot for her right now with a championship. I don't think that she is in a position right now to be a champion where she should be featured over some of the other women they have. So, no. I don't see that. Now, look, it's still early in 2021. I don't know what's going to be going on in September. But they have a lot of other women on that roster who I'd like to see challenging for a championship. Carmella has her place on the show. I don't think she needs to be the champion, though. Pedro Velasquez, Solomonster, you are a genius for predicting Edge to win the Royal Rumble. Hope you are doing well. Well, I don't know. I'm not a genius. It seemed pretty obvious to me that promo, it was such an old school babyface promo. You know, he didn't make any guarantees, but he was, you know, just talking about it like, this could be my last shot. My window is closing and, you know, I have to go for it. Just classic white meat, old school babyface promo. And it just seemed like it was tailor made for an Edge win. So once that promo aired on TV, I don't know what the betting odds were because I don't pay attention to any of that stuff, but I would be shocked if Edge didn't shoot up to the top of the pack after that. Yavani again, when was the last time they plugged alcohol on the show? I thought it was supposed to be a PG show. It was very strange, right? We usually don't hear them talking about beer. I mean, when Steve Austin was on the show, I guess he drinks beer, but promoting it? Yeah, maybe it's a root beer. Maybe it's a root beer. I've never heard of that beer before. I don't know what kind of beer it is. Ryan Spy, stop rigging the draws. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Cyriz Manson, you look like Daniel Bryan if he wasn't fed. Okay. Well, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. I'll take it as a compliment. Still doing my DDP yoga? I am almost 30 pounds down from where I was when I got back from the Jericho cruise, which was right around this time, exactly 1 year ago. And I'm exactly 30 pounds. And it wasn't like I was that big even then, but 30 pounds down from that. It's the lightest I've ever been in my life. I know too many people who packed on the pandemic pounds, and I just said, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let my fucking lazy ass sit here and just, you know, pack on the pounds. We gotta work and keep it off, and so far so good. Now hopefully in 9 months I'll be able to get back to the gym, and then we can really start. I'll be looking like Carlito when I come on these streams. Carlito won't be the only body guy. Solomonster, this guy right here, is going to be the body guy too. Random human, do you want Sami Zayn or Mustafa Ali to win Money in the Bank? I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know that I want either one of them to win Money in the Bank. There's a lot of potential Money in the Bank winners. I haven't thought that far ahead, so I'd have to give that some thought. Of those two options, though, boy, you know, Sammy could be very entertaining, I think, in that role. Mustafa Ali, I think, would be a fine candidate. This retribution thing is just such garbage. And I just wish it would end. I don't want his push to end, if you could even call it a push. I want him to be featured on TV, but this retribution thing has just got to go. I mean, this retribution thing is, it's just dragging everybody down. True Heel Master, would you be interested in seeing Edge, Orton, McIntyre, and The Fiend in a fatal four-way match in night one at WrestleMania? No, I don't want a fatal four-way. I don't want a triple threat. If you're talking about the championship, I want a singles match. I don't like these multi-man matches. I don't want them in the WrestleMania main event, for sure. I just don't like multi-man matches as my WrestleMania main event. Now, there could be exceptions to that. It depends on the match. But that's not something I want to see. Juan Ocampo, can we please get a Vince Royal Rumble intro, please? Oh, it's too late for that one. Come on. Just go back and play the 1992 one. Vince McMahon does a fucking fantastic intro. You want me to do it? You just go listen to the real thing. Nothing beats that. Jaron Balor was expecting more older stars to return. No Cena. Cena will be back. Cena's coming back for the important stuff. You know, unless they were going to set up his program for WrestleMania tonight, there was no need for John Cena on this show. Michael Darcy with the $30. Great Rumble matches despite the 24/7 title interference. I had to explain the whole 24/7 title concept to a friend. Needless to say, she was extremely confused. John Falchetta, they dropped the ball on The Fiend. Can I get a quick Russo impression, bro? Bro, if I had booked The Fiend, bro. Bro, he would be the biggest star in the WWE, bro. The things I could have done in TNA with Dixie Carter, bro, with The Fiend and Abyss, bro, it would have been great. Actually, The Fiend and Abyss, they have Abyss in WWE. If they want to put Abyss on TV, he works for them now. They can pretty much do whatever they want with him. Straight bullet, justice for Mickie James. Edge versus Roman does nothing for Roman. The man pinned Undertaker at WrestleMania. Drew needs heat or Finn. Powerful one. I actually think Edge should win. It's the tried and true Cinderella story with the happy ending at WrestleMania. He can drop it right back to Roman at the next pay-per-view, but I just think this WrestleMania moment is too good to pass up. Maybe. They have time to convince me. Cameron Spencer. Cross will beat Balor WrestleMania weekend and lose to Brock. Now, you say WrestleMania weekend. You do realize that WrestleMania is taking up the entire weekend. There's WrestleMania on Saturday. There's WrestleMania on Sunday. So unless they're going to do TakeOver on Friday, which I don't think they're going to do, I don't know that there is going to be a TakeOver WrestleMania weekend. It would have to be on Friday. If they did it, it would have to be on Friday. I don't know that they've ever done a Friday TakeOver before. Maybe they have. I might have been at one of them. Usually, sometimes they flip-flop the TakeOver show and the Hall of Fame date, WrestleMania weekend, so it is possible. I guess it's possible they've done some Friday TakeOvers before, I'm just not remembering what they were. But I'm not sure they're doing one WrestleMania weekend. From my understanding, they want to keep the TakeOvers apart and not just piggyback off the main roster shows. Zane, your thoughts on the show, on the slow. Botched finish during the Reigns and Owens match. Gave my thoughts earlier. It sucked. I still think the match was very good, but the finish was awful. Rizzo, I wonder if them holding out Aleister Black is to let the Zelina Vega firing. I mean, she got fired a few months ago. How much longer do you want to let it die down? My God. You do realize that he was already off TV even before Zelina got fired. So, look, maybe they have some big idea for him and they're just biding their time, but I also don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt on this because they've been wasting him for a while now. He spent half the year last year dressed like a fucking pirate with the eye patch. This has been a lost year for Aleister Black. An entire year of his career that he can never get back. It is one of the more disgraceful examples of wasted talent in that company on that main roster. I give them credit for nothing. Kira says, I meant Almas, AJ Styles' debut, not Andrade. Oh, I thought you were talking about Andrade, who should be coming back soon. Yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this Omos thing. You know, some of the stuff he's throwing Big E around tonight. These big guys, when they're that big, I mean, they don't have they're not very graceful. And I don't think he has a whole lot of experience. So he's this awesome figure to look at. Like in the bodyguard role, he's perfect because he just towers over everybody. But do I have an interest in seeing him in the ring? No, I don't. So I don't think he's going to be very good. So what his future holds, I don't know, but in the ring, I don't think, whatever it is, I don't think it's very good. Oz and Glorious, I have no idea what you're talking about right now, but thanks for what you do, Solo Monster. Can't wait for Moxley against Kenta. Neil Childs, what about doing a movie discussion live stream? Well, it depends. It depends on the movie. It depends what the discussion is going to be about. I mean, I'm down for new ideas, but the interest has to be there. Something to think about, though. And Robert Kaplinger, and I think we're all caught up now. Late for the stream, so sorry if this has been stated, but I could see Edge and Christian against the Usos. There you go, look at that. Edge and Christian against the Usos for the build-up to WrestleMania. Cheers, good sir. Always a pleasure. That is an interesting way to set up Edge and Roman Reigns. If Edge has not chosen the champion yet by then that he wants to face, and Jimmy Uso is supposed to be back around this time from his injury, you could set up an Edge and Christian match with the Usos for like an elimination chamber or something, and maybe from that, because of the Roman connection, somehow from that, that could lead to Edge choosing to challenge Roman. Or Edge can just challenge Roman, and as part of the build-up to that match, you could do something with Edge and Christian and the Usos. Absolutely. Even though Edge is considered a Raw star, but I guess if he announces that he's challenging for the SmackDown title, that probably would automatically make him a SmackDown talent. So, yeah, I could see Edge and Christian and the Usos actually being something they do in building up to a Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania. Absolutely. That's a great point. That is a great point. Cool. All right. I think we're all caught up now on all your super chats. You guys were awesome. A lot of good shit. A lot of good questions from you guys. As we'll get ready to wind down here in a second, I want to thank everybody who has hit that thumbs up button. If you haven't, please do so. It helps out all the videos when you do, especially with the recommendeds on the sidebar. So if nothing else, do me that favor. Let's get those likes up. We have, how many we have? Over 600. That's good, but we could do better. We had almost 3,000 people in here earlier. We still got almost 2,000. Just give me that thumbs up. You'll be helping the stream out a lot. I appreciate it. And let's check that Twitter poll out one more time. Stray Bullet dropping $2.99 super chat. Big fan. Thoughts on The Rock against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Look at that. Look at that. No matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm in the middle of saying, when that Ultimate Warrior picture pops up on the screen, it just breaks me. We're at the point now where with some of these newer super chats, I'm trying to pop myself. Like, I'm trying to crack myself up to see if I can do it. And that one just gets me every time. Rock and Roman is a huge potential match. And I think they want to do it. And Rock, I think, would be open to the idea of doing it. But I think it's the kind of thing they would want to wait and do it in, you know, LA. And they're not going to be in LA for WrestleMania until 2023, right? Because they're going to be in Dallas next year. Question is, you know, you don't know what's going to be 2 years from now in terms of The Rock, in terms of Roman Reigns. Is Roman Reigns still going to be doing the Tribal Chief stuff in 2 years? Are people going to be sick of it? Is he going to be back to being a babyface by then? Is he going to have Paul Heyman with him by then? 2 years is a long time. So I think they want to do the match. I think they'd be open to it in Dallas next year. But I would think WrestleMania 39 is probably a target for them to do the match. But, you know, every year that goes by, you know, The Rock's getting older. And, you know, he may have other aspirations, things he wants to do. Now, remember, the matches with Cena, The Rock got hurt both times. The Rock tore his hamstring in the first match with Cena. And in the rematch with Cena, I feel like he tore every fucking muscle in his body. I mean, he tore his adductor muscle. He was all fucked up when that match was over. And that was 8 years ago. That was 8 years ago. And he hasn't been in the ring in a while. So, you know, Father Time is not kind to these guys. And the longer that time goes by, I don't know. It makes me wonder if Rock is even going to want to come back. But I think it would be a very big match. And now the world, 138 says, no holds barred for the movie. I like No Holds Barred. It's one of my, a lot of people shit on it. It's one of my guilty pleasure movies. I was young enough when I saw that movie for the first time that Zeus scared me. And those scenes, like in the bar, where he shows up for the first time and they play that ominous music, It was unnerving. It was unnerving to me as a young lad. So as corny as it is now to go back and watch it, I like No Holds Barred. Now the world says no one likes it. Well, you found one guy right here who likes it, so you can't say that anymore. I like it. Check that Twitter poll out. You guys can vote at Solomonster. There it is. You guys think Royal Rumble 2021 is a thumbs-up show by a 72% margin. 20% thumbs down. Only 7%. Thumbs in the middle, I should say. Only 7% thumbs down. We've got over 2,200 votes. So hop on there. At Solomonster. I'm just checking out the chat here. I'm going to wrap up here in a second. I want to just see your comments. Holden Caulfield. I love that name. Haven't read that book in a long time. Holden Caulfield says The Rock would destroy a boneyard match. The genius says your opinion don't matter. I say it does. It's my fucking stream. My opinion is the only one that matters. Great Khali says The Rock's head is shinier than my kitchen worktop. Yeah. Well, The Rock was made for cinematic matches. Yeah, I guess so. That's true. But I think The Rock wants to perform in front of an audience. Right? Every time we hear The Rock talk about going back and doing a match or something with WWE, what is the one thing he always talks about? He goes, it's a business like no other. You get that audience reaction. The people chant your name. I don't know. Is The Rock going to be happy doing a cinematic match? It'd be easy for him to do. But is that the kind of match he wants to do? I think he wants to be in front of a live audience. I think he thrives off of that. So I don't know that he would want to do that, honestly. What's up with Samoa Joe? When is he coming back? Good question. Samoa Joe has said that he's not retired, but it's been a long time since we've seen him in the ring. So I think when Vince McMahon is done with him and has another role in mind for him, we'll see him back in the ring. But I guarantee you, we have not seen the last of Samoa Joe in the ring. Unfortunately for Joe in recent years, he's been very injury prone. He's gotten hurt a whole bunch of times. And I wonder if the company maybe lost a little confidence in him because of it. And then he just sort of fell into the announce role, and I think Vince probably loved him. And this is what they've had him doing, but I guarantee you, we have not seen the last of Samoa Joe in the ring. Do you think that they should create a mid-card women's title for the ladies who are not doing much? No. I'm not a fan of creating belts just to give people something to do. You've got your main championship. You've got tag team championships. I don't think that's necessary. Frankly, I don't think the division right now is big enough to warrant having another title. Naif. Did I miss one of the super chats? I thought I got one for sure. But look, I see all of them. So even if I didn't mention one, I see everything you sent me. I love you, brother. Naif is one of my biggest fans, one of my biggest supporters every week. He's always there. So, yeah, if I did miss one, I'm sorry. But I do, when the stream is over and I go back, I see everything. So, I definitely did not miss that. Why was Ray eliminated? Why wouldn't he be? Rey Mysterio was not winning the Royal Rumble. Do you think that Randy Orton steals or beats The Miz for the Money in the Bank to sneak into WrestleMania against Ed? You guys are scaring me, because I really hadn't thought too much about that, but you're starting to scare me with all these ideas about Randy Orton trying to sneak his way into the WrestleMania main event against Edge. You got to stop doing that. Yeah, now, Ken, I saw yours. As soon as I was done, I saw it. I see everything, even if I somehow miss it during the stream. When the stream is over, I go back just to make sure, and I see everything. So you can't get nothing past me. Remember, yeah. Could we one day see the three faces of Wyatt in the Rumble? I don't want to see that. See, I thought the three faces of Foley thing in 98 was fucking dumb. Just a waste of two spots. That's really all that is. Pedro wants to know, do you have a Twitch channel, Solomonster? I do. I'm not actively using it, though. So I'm not uploading any content there or doing any live streaming right now, but I do have a channel. It's probably, whatever it is, twitch.tv/ probably either Solomonster or The Solomonster. I set it up a while ago, so it would have nothing on there, but yes, I do. I actually heard from Twitch. It was a couple of years ago. They wanted to do something, and I wasn't really sold on doing anything on Twitch at the time, so I just kind of ignored it and let it slide. But maybe we'll put some stuff there. It's possible. Will we ever see Roman Reigns against, and Seth Rollins in a two-man power trip type of thing? They are on the same brand, and they are heels. Well, you answered your own question. They're on the same brand, and they're heels, so anything's possible. Get the Messiah and the head of the table? I don't see them forming a group, but I could see them doing some tag matches together. Worst theme song, Layla or Brie Bella? Oh my god. Wasn't Layla, oh god, what was Layla's song? I read the lyrics once on the podcast many years ago. Wasn't it like I Need a Boy or something like that? Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. Jalen, update on Jason Jordan. According to Chad Gable, Jason Jordan is training for a comeback. He is still hopeful of possibly getting cleared and being able to come back to the ring. Will it happen? I would say probably. Look, if Edge got cleared and Christian got cleared, it took years, but Jason Jordan's still a young guy. I would think at some point we will see Jason Jordan back in the ring. Don't remind me. Angel says Seth can be Roman's spiritual advisor. Yeah, Brie mode. Yeah, we'll end with this. I told this story on the podcast. I had gone in for, I guess it was an MRI a few years ago. And so basically they put you in this long tube. So like if you're claustrophobic, I think they have stand-up MRIs now and stuff. It doesn't bother me. So I had to go in and they tell you, you got to be absolutely still. Otherwise you'll fuck up the whole test. And you're in there for a while. You're in there for like 15, 20 minutes. But they play music. They go, we can play music for you. They go, do you have music on your phone? We can actually sync your phone to the speaker and play music from your phone so you can hear it while you're in the tube. And I said, sure. And I had a playlist on Spotify that had some wrestling songs downloaded in there as well, mixed in. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was, I was playing like a station, because why the hell would I have this song downloaded? I definitely don't have it downloaded. So I think it might have been a station or something on Spotify. But it had all wrestling themes. So I'm in this tube. I'm having my MRI done. I can't move. I was told, don't move. And one of the first songs that comes on is Brie Mode. And I am powerless to do anything to stop it. You talk about a nightmare scenario. It doesn't get much worse than that. Laying in an MRI tube, and I got to hear fucking Brie Mode over the speaker. It's like hell on earth. So every time I hear Brie Mode now, that's all I think about is that freaking MRI. That's some nightmare fuel for you. It's awful. It's exactly what it was. It was torture. Oh my god. All right. This has been a fun stream. You guys killed it tonight. I got to go back and see how many. I think at one point we had just shy maybe of 3,000. We had a lot of people joining tonight. I like to see it. This was a big stream. I want to thank everybody for all the super chat support. You guys killed it. I hope you'll come on back Wednesday night and join me during the AEW Dynamite stream. There's a big episode of Dynamite this week, Beach Break. And if you missed it, episode 689 of The Sound Off, that's the full podcast. It's almost 3 hours long. Went up earlier today. Talk about the WWE Network being acquired by Peacock. Why I think that's good and bad for the fans. And a lot of other stuff as well. A lot of history stuff. Big history segment on the podcast this week. So thank you again for all of your support. I will see you on Wednesday night. And for episode 690 of The Sound Off next week on Sunday. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up on your way out. If you would be so kind. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you to all the mods for all your support. And I will see you guys again on Wednesday night for Dynamite. Take care, guys.